Eternity, to eternity. take a moment to greet each other and find our seats.
Hi everyone, my name is Jason and I'm part of our HD creative team. Happy Labor Day and welcome back HTC. As we celebrate the end of summer this weekend, we're looking forward to being back together this fall. Next Sunday, we are back, and here's how you can connect with HTC this fall. Life groups are a great way to connect at HTC. Next week, we're having a Life Group Expo. Join us in Fellowship Hall after service to find the perfect life group for you. For more information, check out our website, hcchurch.com. This September, we're excited to launch Harvest Time University, a place where you can be equipped and empowered for ministry. So, HT University is launching on September 15th with Life in the Spirit, led by Pastor Nick. Life in the Spirit will help you learn to walk with the Spirit and equip you to move in healing and the prophetic. For more information, scan the QR code or check out our website, hdchurch.com. To learn more about what's coming up at Harvest Time this fall, connect with us through Realm. Scan the QR code to set up an account today. HT Kids families, we want to remind you to take advantage of our pre-check online. This is a way to fast pass your kids through the check-in process for all kids ministries. For additional information, meet us at the Connect Desk in the lobby or check out our website. God bless you and have a great week, HTC fam.
Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Welcome to Harvest Time. It's so good to see you in the Lord's house today. We're glad you joined us for worship. We also want to welcome everybody who's watching us this morning on our YouTube channel. We're glad that we can connect with you, and we hope that you'll continue to worship with us online and in person. As you heard right now, we're encouraging everybody to download the Realm Connect app. A lot of you give through Realm, but you can use it to connect with a life group, stay up to date with church events, and lots more. You can use those QR codes to get the Realm app from your app store. Sign up now, or you can just point your camera at it and click it, save it for later so it'll be in your history, and then you can download it later. To get more help, you can also connect with Pastor Kim out in the lobby after the service. I want to thank you so much for your faithful giving to the work of the Lord. Thank you for honoring the Lord with the tithe. The tithe is the first 10% of what the Lord has prospered us with throughout this week. How many of you know that Jesus encourages us to give, and he encourages us to give with joy? Amen. He says, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Jesus said, people will pour into your lap. That is an awesome presence from the God who calls himself Jehovah Jireh. Aren't you glad that God calls himself your provider and my provider? Amen. Because of social distancing, we won't be passing an offering plate today, but you can use the giving boxes that are at the back of the sanctuary and out in the lobby. You have an envelope also in your program that'll let you give in a few different ways. If you're giving cash and you'd like to receive credit for your giving, please do make sure that we have all of your information. It's very safe and simple also to give online. You can give using the Realm app or give on our website at htchurch.com. There's a giving link right there on the top of the homepage. And you can use that link to make a one-time gift, or you can set up a program of regular automatic giving, which a lot of folks are doing now. You can also give by text, and you can see instructions on the screen as to how to give that way. Just a quick reminder that right now, at the moment in the town of Greenwich, everyone does need to wear a mask, regardless of whether you're vaccinated or not, unless you're socially distanced. Once you're seated and socially distanced, you can remove your mask if you like. We want to let you know that we are sanitizing the sanctuary after every service for our safety. We also have the ropes back up in place for now, and we'd ask that you help us out with that. Do you know the Olympics are over, so please no rope jumping, no pole vaulting over the rows or anything like that. The medals have all been handed out, but we'd ask that you would help us just be sensitive towards those who have social distancing concerns. Let's pray for everybody that is facing COVID, and let's just pray for God to sweep it right out of our world. Amen. We're so excited to be starting a new semester of life groups next Sunday. Next Sunday, the 12th, after each of our services, we're going to be having a life group expo where you can explore our new life group offerings. We've got study groups, we have dinner parties, we have groups for men, groups for women. We have a lot of interest groups of different kinds, and inside your programs, a little handout that'll help you get more information on the various types of groups that we have, and there's a QR code there as well. So you can explore. We have groups meeting on different days of the week, not only here at the church, but also in different places around the region. So come on out to the expo after church next Sunday. Enjoy some fellowship. Our group leaders will be there. You can talk to them, get the flavor of all the particular groups, and find one that's right for you. Our midweek programs for kids and teens are starting up and going to be in full swing a week from Wednesday. Wednesday the 15th will be up and running here. Something else that we're excited to be launching this month is Harvest Time University. HTU, that's going to be a place where you can get equipped, where you can get empowered for ministry. I'm going to be teaching a course called Life in the Spirit, and Life in the Spirit is designed to help you experience and move in the power of the Holy Spirit through teaching and through hands-on training as well. That course is starting up on Wednesday, September 15th. Use a QR code to sign up. You can also sign up out on the website at hdchurch.com or connect with Pastor Kim in the lobby. As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, we want to continue, of course, to remember those who have been affected by the storms of the past week. We also want to remember the situation in the Middle East. We want to pray. We want to ask God that His kingdom would come and His will would be done in the nations of the earth. How many of you know there are nations in distress? Jesus said that would be the case. But at the same time, while there's nations in distress, we serve a mighty God who can give peace, who can minister peace and hope and life to people. Let's pray. Let's reach out to our merciful God, and as soon as we prayed, Pastor Glenn's going to come. He's going to share a great faith-filled word with us. Come on, let's bow our hearts together, and let's pray. Father, we come to you in the beautiful name of Jesus, your Son, today. Lord, it's the name that opens heaven's door to your people. Father, we come to you as the God of mercy, and we ask for your help for all those who've been affected, Lord, by this storm, Ida. Lord, we pray that you would comfort those, Lord, who've lost loved ones. We pray that you would minister and help those, Lord, who were injured, Lord, those who've suffered loss, damage to property, Lord, damage of many different kinds. Lord, we pray that you would help us to just across our nation, Lord, across this whole part of the country, mobilize resources and help would get to people quickly, Father. Lord, give our leaders wisdom, Lord, as they think about how to rebuild and as they think about how to plan, Lord, and infrastructure and all these things in the face of storms. Father, just give your comfort, Lord, to those who are needing to recover, Lord, this week. And God, we ask that you would look with compassion, Lord, on the nations of the Middle East. Lord, we look at a region, Lord, stretching from Morocco on one side all the way over, Lord, towards India and Pakistan. And Father, those are nations that need to know you, Lord. Would you reveal yourself to them, Lord? Those regions are full of people whom you love, God, but they're people who need to know that you are more than just a moral teacher, God. They need to know that you're more, Jesus, than just a prophet. They need to know that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that peace and hope can be found through you and through your gospel. So we pray, Lord, for the Middle East. We pray in particular for Afghanistan, Father. We pray for the persecuted church in Afghanistan and around the Middle East. Father, would you hide them under the shelter of your wing, Father God? Lord, give them your anointing, your boldness to speak the words of life, Father, to all those that they come in contact with, Father. Equip them for this, Lord. Lord, show your glory in those nations and across the earth. Lord, as we come before you now with our tithes, our gifts, our offerings, Lord, we pray that you would just take, Lord, this seed that we're sowing in faith into your kingdom. Lord, would you multiply it to meet the needs of this, your house, and to spread the gospel. Use us, Lord, to spread your gospel around this region and around the world. I ask, God, that you would prosper your people, meet all of our needs according to your riches in Jesus. Lord, would you this week allow us to see the overflow, God, and live in the overflow of your generous heart. If you agree with that, would you say amen and amen. God bless you, everybody.
Just one word, you calm the storm that surrounds. just one word, the darkness has to retreat. Well, just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. Just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that He can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way.
Bless you. Good morning, everyone. I believe that there is nothing that's too hard for the Lord. Do you believe that? I believe in the miracles that are written in the Bible, and I believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I believe He still does miracles. Do you believe that? Amen. God bless you. If you have your Bibles, your Bible app, turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, going to start reading in verse 21, and we're going to talk for a few minutes today about how to make a faith sandwich. How to make a faith sandwich. Mark chapter 5, going to start reading in verse 21 while you find your way there. Do keep in prayer. We have many of our HTC families that were very negatively impacted by the storm on Wednesday night. Some of our families had severe flooding. They've lost washers, dryers, freezers, oil burners, equipment. We had one family, they're just recovering from a battle with cancer. They lost three of their automobiles, were submerged underwater. And we have a very special friend. His name is Dan the Carpet Man. Dan has a carpet and blind store in Mamaroneck, and he has been a massive building phase two and renovating phase one. Dan has just been a massive, massive blessing. His business was really, really wiped out on Wednesday night. And Dan has asked if there's anybody that might be available. He's trying to bail out his store this week. And so if there's anybody that maybe has some time that you could go down and just spend a little time with Dan doing some physical labor, if you could contact the church office. Won't be open tomorrow, but I know that would be, he's been a massive blessing. How many of you know the family of God, we need to just support each other. We need to do what we can. And so if you're able to help, I can give a hand. I can't give two hands, but I can give a hand to the effort. All right, Mark chapter 5, going to start reading in verse 21. Mark 5, verse 21, the Bible says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was still on the shore. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with Jesus, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Look at verse 24. So Jesus went with him. You should underline those words, because isn't that awesome that Jesus went with him? A large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus, and a woman was there who had been subject to feminine bleeding for 12 years. She'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him and touched the corner of his prayer shawl, because she thought, if I can just touch him, I'll be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized the power had gone out of him. He turned around and asked, who touched my clothes?
The disciples answered, "Lord, you see all the people crowding around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your curse." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, only believe." If you have a hard copy of the Bible with you, you ought to highlight those words, underline them, draw stars and circles around them. Don't be afraid, only believe. He didn't let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion? The child isn't dead, she's asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in to where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha ka'um," which means, "Little girl, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was about 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. Let's talk about how to make a faith sandwich. How many people here like a good sandwich? My favorite sandwich is from Pasta Vera on Greenwich Avenue. I'm going to make you all hungry for lunch. Antonio, it's grilled chicken covered with Fontina cheese, topped with roasted red peppers and garlic oil on a fresh ciabatta roll with basil pesto mayo. And you have to heat it just so. I'm missing my friend Shane today because I'm going to graduate Shane from burgers to grilled chicken paninis from Pasta Vera. It has to be heated just enough that when you bite into it, you know, the pesto mayo runs down your cheek, your chin, Mike. Turns out that Mark was fond of sandwiches too. In the Gospel of Mark, a sandwich is where Mark shares a story within a story. He begins a story, he interrupts it with another story, and then he goes back and he finishes the first story. And the two stories work together to make one marvelous point about Jesus. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Nick showed us the first sandwich in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. Jesus' birth family comes to arrest him, and that story is interrupted with a charge from the scribes that Jesus is casting out devils by Beelzebub. And then Mark goes back and finishes the original story. That is a Mark sandwich. There are 10 of them in the Gospel of Mark, but everyone's favorite Mark sandwich is here in Mark chapter 5, the resuscitation of Jairus' daughter interrupted by the healing of the bleeding woman. And these two stories work together to make one marvelous point about Jesus. Don't be afraid, only believe. Looking at Mark 5, let's share a quick recipe for making a faith sandwich. How to make a faith sandwich. If you came and got a bulletin today, in your bulletin there's an outline, and if you like, you can watch the screens, listen, fill in the blanks, follow along. How to make a faith sandwich. First of all, reach out to Jesus in faith. Reach out to Jesus in faith. The faith sandwich begins with a shocking scene, a pleading father on his knees in front of Jesus in a whole crowd of bystanders. And this father wasn't just anybody. Jairus was the leader of the Capernaum synagogue. In Jesus' day, local synagogues were not managed by professional rabbis or priests. They were run by lay leaders, much like our deacons here at Harvest Time. The synagogue leaders were responsible for the operation, the maintenance of the synagogue. They were in charge of the weekly worship services, which had singing and scripture readings and set prayers. And if there was a guest teacher around, they would invite them to speak. No doubt Jesus had made quite the impression on Jairus, because every time Jesus showed up in the synagogue in Capernaum, there was a show for sure. Jairus knew Jesus. He was the most prominent man in Capernaum, and now he's on his knees pleading with Jesus to save his dying daughter. You know, that's the thing about illness, isn't it? It levels the playing field in life in an instant. It brings prominent men down on the level with poor women. It strips people of their dignity. It turns an envied person into an object of pity. But Jairus shows us the first ingredient in a faith sandwich: reach out to Jesus in faith. Salvation and healing come through faith that works by love. Just like the four friends that carried their paralyzed buddy to Jesus, and the centurion who pleaded for his sick servant, Jairus shows us yet again in the Gospels that salvation and healing can come through the faith of one person on behalf of another. It wasn't the faith of the young daughter that saved her. It was the faith of her pleading father. Imagine the love for his daughter that drove Capernaum's most prominent citizen to his knees in front of Jesus while the whole town looked on. Dads, don't stop pleading on your knees for your children. Moms, don't stop pleading on your knees for your children. Husbands, don't stop pleading on your knees for your wives. Wives, don't stop pleading on your knees for your husbands. Brothers, don't stop pleading on your knees for your sisters. And sisters, don't stop pleading on your knees for your brothers. Friends, don't stop pleading on your knees for your friends. Don't stop praying. Don't stop fasting. Don't stop seeking corporate prayer. Don't stop imploring Jesus to touch somebody. 2 weeks ago, we were at an event that was planned by our friends Pastor Blaze and Desi and our friends the Hostetlers. It was an amazing event, worship event. And I had the chance to spend some time with Pastor Blaze's dad, Billy. We've spent some time before, but we sat at table for a couple hours, and Pastor Blaze's dad shared his entire salvation testimony. I want him to come here and share it, because it is so amazing. And when he got done sharing, I said, I have one question for you. Who was praying for you? Because I knew with a testimony like that, there had to be someone that was making intercession. Billy's dad was not a man of faith. He came to the Lord later, but he was a hardened war veteran and not a man of faith, but Billy's uncle was. And Billy's uncle and aunt prayed for their family for 30 years until every one of them came to faith in Jesus Christ. You see, your faith working by love can bring salvation and healing to someone else. Salvation and healing come through faith that is focused exclusively on the person of Jesus. Based on what he had seen, Jairus was fully convinced that Jesus could help. My daughter is dying, Jesus. I know if you will only lay your hand on her, she'll be saved, she'll be healed. He pushed through the crowd and he implored Jesus. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. The one who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I love what Mark reports about Jesus. Without saying a word, Jesus begins to move. Beloved, listen to me. Jesus is not just a message. Jesus is God on the move. He's God at work in his world. He is not just information. Jesus is God involved in people's lives. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is a very present help in time of trouble. He's every kind of help I need exactly the moment that I need him. He's God involved in people's families. He's God involved in people's pain. I love that this Mark sandwich reminds us that Jesus is interruptible. I don't know whether that's good grammar, but it's good preaching. Jesus is not so busy running the universe that he'll let your calls go through to voicemail. Before Jesus gets to Jairus' house, the word comes that his daughter has died. And the messengers tell Jairus, don't bother the teacher anymore. I suppose that would have been right if Jesus were only a teacher, but he is more than a teacher or a teaching. He is God touching. Beloved, listen to me. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when people reach out for him in faith, he still moves towards them. The Bible says that God is hoping that we'll reach out for him and find him because he's not far from any one of us. If you have a need in your life, if you need a marriage miracle or a son or a daughter miracle or a medical miracle or a money miracle, or maybe there's a lot of us just said, yeah, I could use all of the above. I promise you, if you'll reach out for Jesus in faith, he will move toward you. How to make a faith sandwich. Next, exercise hands-on faith in Jesus. Exercise hands-on faith in Jesus. So now Jesus is on the move with the pleading father, and unexpectedly onto the scene appears a bleeding woman. Unlike prominent Jairus, she is unknown, suffering in private pain. For 12 years, she endured continuous feminine bleeding. Mark calls it a curse. As if her physical suffering and personal suffering wasn't enough, her condition carried with it a serious social stigma. Feminine bleeding made a woman unclean according to the Jewish law, meaning she wasn't supposed to go out in public. She was forbidden to attend public worship. Anyone or anything that she touched would become temporarily unclean too. What an unlikely pair brought together by illness. A pleading father who was the leader of the synagogue and a bleeding woman who was forbidden to go into the synagogue. The woman had consulted doctor after doctor, and she had suffered terribly through their various treatments. The Talmud is the Jewish book of customs. There are 11 different possible treatments in the Talmud for women with chronic bleeding, most of them based on superstition. Some of them involve saying certain incantations while holding certain objects or drinking potions or carrying something around. One of the suggested treatments was to sneak up behind the woman and scare her, much the way that we try to help someone get over the hiccups. None of them worked. She spent all that she had. If you want to know how valuable money isn't, just look at how quickly someone will spend everything they have to get well again when they're sick. That's good preaching right there. After all that, instead of getting better, she only got worse. And then she heard about Jesus. The pleading father reached out to Jesus based upon what he had already seen. But the bleeding woman, she was a step beyond him in her faith. She exercised hands-on faith based upon what she had heard about Jesus. After he was risen from the dead, Jesus said to doubting Thomas, "Thomas, you believe because you've seen me, but blessed are those who have not seen me and believe." She exercised hands-on faith. Having a flow of blood for 12 years and having suffered much under the care of many doctors and having spent all that she had and having gotten no better, but having gotten worse and having heard about Jesus and having come up behind him, she touched him. Salvation and healing come through faith that is creatively determined. Just like the four friends that found an outdoor staircase and dug a hole through Peter's roof, the bleeding woman, she wouldn't be denied. She refused any obstacle to deter her from reaching Jesus. She couldn't do what Jairus did. She couldn't approach Jesus face to face. She didn't have Jairus' social status. She was a woman. She wasn't permitted to approach a man. She was a bleeding woman. She wasn't permitted to touch anybody, let alone a rabbi. So she maneuvered her way through that jostling crowd, and she snuck up and she touched Jesus on the tassel of his prayer shawl. Salvation and healing come through faith that moves. You see, Jesus isn't the only one who moves. In Mark 5, the bleeding woman moved too. Fatalism sits still. Fatalism gives up. It expects nothing. It reaches for nothing, and it receives nothing. Fatalism resigns itself to whatever suffering life might bring, but faith refuses to be quiet. It refuses to sit still and lay down and die. Faith acts. It gets up. It presses forward. It lays hold of Jesus. While I was in prayer this week, I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to share the story of how we obtained this piece of property. Denise and I came to Harvest Time in August of 1996. August was our 25th anniversary here at Harvest Time. We committed for 5 years, and we got committed for 25 to life. A few months after we arrived, the town of Greenwich sent us a letter informing us that they wouldn't renew the church's lease at the Western Greenwich Civic Center. They weren't being mean, they just needed the space. So Pastor Tate, our founding pastor, asked me to lead a committee to search for a permanent home for Harvest Time. We spent months and months scouring all of Greenwich. We looked at everything for sale in Greenwich and everything that wasn't for sale in Greenwich. We wanted to buy a building and renovate it into church, but we kept running into the same obstacles. The biggest one was not enough parking. Next to that was the purchase price. The Cuisinart headquarters was on sale in Greenwich for the bargain basement price of $18 million. And then there was not a room large enough to really be a fitting sanctuary. As you can see, I like big spaces. Finally, we decided we had to buy land. So we drafted a cold call letter to owners of properties in Greenwich, 10 acres or larger. And I don't remember, Skip, where I got this idea. I stole it shamelessly from somebody. I don't remember where, but we had a little over 300 letters, and we piled them up on the altar, the communion table in the Civic Center. Skip and Max, you were there that day. And the whole congregation came forward, and we laid hands on those letters, and we prayed on them, and we mailed them out. Out of 300-something letters, only one response came back. And whose property do you suppose it was? This property. It met every criteria that we had listed in our letter. It was on the market for $3 million, and the owner agreed to sell it to us for $1.5 million, 10 and a half acres in Greenwich, Connecticut. Listen, laying hands on letters was not a magic formula, but it was an act of faith, of creatively determined. Do you feel me? Are you getting the message? It was an act of creatively determined faith in God that he honored and he responded to. I feel like I have a word. There's an urgency in my spirit for somebody today. God is waiting for you to make a move. He's waiting for you to engage some creatively determined faith. After the real estate market crashed in 2007 or 2008, my mom had just come through a battle with breast cancer. She beat it, but she was pretty beat up, and she sold her business, and she had to sell her house. She put her house on the market. It was on the market in the suburbs of Philadelphia for 2 years. And if you remember back to that time, nothing, Mike, was moving on. It was not a good time to be a mortgage broker in 2007, 2008. Nothing was moving. There were six other houses on the same street for sale. My mom had lowered her price 5 or 6 times. And finally, she came to visit us, and one of our intercessors had a word for her. She said, Jenny, she said, I feel the reason your house isn't. Now, listen to this. It's the reason your house isn't selling is because the bottom has fallen out of the market. But she said, Jenny, I feel the reason that your house hasn't sold is because you haven't let go of it. So my mom went home, and honestly, it was that home. My mother only ever lived in two houses. She lived in her parents' house, and then when she married my father, they moved directly into that house. She was, at this point, over 70, and she'd only ever lived in two houses in her life. And it was a place of security for her. But she took that word, and she went home, and she put on worship. My mom always played, listen, play worship in your house. Play worship and the Word of God. Play it, play it. Play it when you're not home. Play it all the time. It'll change the atmosphere of your house, I'm telling you. So my mom went home, and she put on worship, and she took a white handkerchief. How many of you old Pentecostals who remember white handkerchiefs? Let me tell you something. White handkerchiefs are anointed. I just want you to know. My mom took a white handkerchief as a sign of surrender. And she walked through every room of her house worshiping the Lord, waving that white handkerchief. And when she was done, she came back to the living room. She got on her knees and she said, God, ever since the day I became born again, you have been my source, not this house. And I trust you. Listen to me, beloved, the next day, God doesn't always answer the next day, but my mom's super special. So the next day, come on, I want you to say, the next day, two buyers want to see the house. And they both want the house, and they get in a bidding war on the house. Now, here in Westchester County and Fairfield County, bidding wars are a common thing. It doesn't happen in the suburbs of Split Levels in 1960s and suburbs of Philadelphia in 1960s Split Levels. They get in a bidding war, and in a period of 2 days, they drove there's six other houses on the street. You don't want the one with red shutters? Take the one with blue shutters. They're all the same. They drove the selling price back up to my mom's original asking price. She sold her house for full price. Creatively determined faith. Sometimes salvation and healing come through the faith of one working on behalf of another. The bleeding woman shows us that sometimes salvation and healing come through the faith of the petitioner. Her touch was an act of faith in Jesus as the Jewish Messiah. Listen, this is so important. Her faith was not faith in the power of faith. It was not faith in some universal energy. It was not faith in spirits or saints. It was not faith in psychosomatic healing or the power of the human will. It was not faith in magic. It was not faith in incantations, talismans, potions, crystals, copper. Somebody needs to hear that. Or magnets. It wasn't even faith in a religious ritual. Her faith was in Jesus as the Jewish Messiah and the healer. She had heard about the altar in the temple courtyard. And she read in the book of Exodus that everything that touches that altar becomes clean, becomes holy. But she couldn't go into the temple. But she heard about a Jewish Messiah, a son of righteousness, rising with healing in the corners of his prayer shawl. That word translated in Malachi 4:2 in English, the son of righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. It means the corner of the prayer shawl. And based on what she had heard about Jesus, she became convinced that he is the son of righteousness. And when she snuck up behind him and touched the corner of his prayer shawl, she believed that she would not make him dirty, but that he would make her clean. Will you go to Bible school with me for 1 minute? 1 second. You go to Bible school with me? In Mark chapter 5, there are three miracles that bring Jesus into contact with uncleanness. One is a demonized man living among the tombs. One is the bleeding woman. And one is a dead little girl. Graves, feminine bleeding, and a corpse. Jesus hit the trifecta of ceremonial uncleanness in Mark chapter 5, but in each instance, Jesus took away the uncleanness and he replaced it with God's wholeness. May God give you grace to receive words of salvation. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Son of Righteousness who has been crucified and rose from the dead on the third day with healing in the corners of his prayer shawl. And what Jesus did in the pages of the Bible, he still does away. He takes away all of our uncleanness. He takes away our sins. He takes away our guilt. He takes away our shame. He takes away all of our brokenness and he replaces it with his wholeness. Immediately the woman felt that she was healed. Listen, beloved, one momentary touch from Jesus can heal what 12 years of therapy cannot heal. Jesus felt the healing power go out of him. Pastor Nick is going to explain that more in his Life in the Spirit course on Wednesday evenings. You should take it. If you don't take it, Denise is doing a life group for ladies on Wednesdays, and I'm doing a life group for men on Wednesdays, and so we hope you'll be part of it. But if you want to know about the healing virtue going out, Pastor Nick will explain it to you. Jesus wheeled around. He said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples begin to chide Jesus. They're like, "Lord, everybody's bumping into you. What do you mean, who touched me?" But Jesus kept surveying the crowd. Lots of people touched him, but only one exercised hands-on faith. I love that Jesus was just as persistent to find the bleeding woman as she had been to touch Jesus. And we find out why. She wanted a cure, but Jesus wanted a face-to-face encounter with her. She wanted a medical solution, but Jesus wanted a one-on-one meeting. In the kingdom of heaven, miracles lead to meetings. She wanted a prescription for healing, but he wanted a personal relationship with her. He says to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you." Doesn't say healed, he says saved you. Your faith has saved you and healed you from this curse. And then Jesus gives her the Jewish blessing, Lechi Lai Shalom, go in peace. It means go in the wholeness of God's salvation. Go in his completeness, nothing missing and nothing broken in you. The greater miracle that happened to the bleeding woman was the unseen miracle of God's salvation. Beloved, listen to me. No matter how urgent your need for healing might be, the greatest miracle that could ever happen to you is the miracle of salvation through faith in Christ. How to make a faith sandwich. Reach out to Jesus in faith. Exercise hands-on faith. Finally, this. No matter what, hold on to Jesus in faith. No matter what, hold on to him. While Jesus was still speaking to the woman, messengers arrived from Jairus' house. "Your daughter has died. Don't trouble the teacher anymore." Now it was time for Jairus to grow in his faith. He had reached out to Jesus based upon what he had seen, but would he come up to the level of faith of the bleeding woman? Would he believe what he heard from the messengers, or would he believe the word of the Lord from Jesus? Would he exercise hands-on faith? Would he dismiss Jesus as the messengers suggested, or would he hold on to Jesus? That's the third ingredient in a faith sandwich. No matter what, hold on to him. I love this. It says Jesus ignored the messengers. He gave them the hand. Beloved, listen, this girl was most certainly dead. That was a reality. But Jesus was aware of an alternative reality, a God reality. Listen, it is time that we reclaimed a truth that the enemy has taken away from us because of maybe some little bit of unbalanced teaching. We've forgotten that sometimes we need to just ignore the messengers. Sometimes we need to give them the hand. Sometimes times we need to refuse to receive their report. Untreatable, I give you the hand. Inoperable, I give you the hand. Terminal, I give you the hand. Irreversible, inevitable, inescapable, irreconcilable, I give you the hand in the name of Jesus. Listen, I'm not suggesting that we live in denial, but I'm saying we need to live with an awareness that there is an alternative reality, a God reality. This is good preaching right here. St. Paul said that Abraham faced the fact. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. And yet he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he promised. Somebody receive a word from the Holy Spirit right now. God has the power to do what he has promised he will do for you. He has the power to do what he's promised he'll do for your family. He has the power to promise what he promised he's going to do in your body and in your life and in your future. Be fully persuaded in spite of the facts. Jairus shows us that sometimes salvation and healing come through the faith of one working on behalf of another. The bleeding woman shows us that sometimes salvation and healing comes through the faith of the petitioner. Jesus shows us that sometimes salvation and healing come through the faith of the ministering person. Jesus was aware of an alternative reality that eclipses medical science and earthly circumstances. God's Son has defeated God's adversary, and with it sickness and even death itself. Jesus was aware of God's intentions. He was aware of God's will in the matter. Jesus knew that the Father had already determined to do for that little girl what no earthly doctor could do. And Jesus was aware of a Spirit-inspired strategy to release the miracle of resuscitation. Beloved, listen to me. There is no set formula for healing. Jesus didn't have one, and he didn't give us one either. For each person that we minister to, we have to get the mind of the Lord and the strategy from the Holy Spirit. I believe that's why Mark interpreted the Aramaic words Jesus spoke to the little girl to be sure that we knew they're just ordinary words. Little girl, get up. There's no magic incantation or ritual for healing, only on-the-spot direction from the Holy Spirit. Listen, healing doesn't come through holy water. It's not more holy because it came from the Jordan River, all right? Doesn't come from holy cloths, holy oil, holy icons. It only comes through the touch of Jesus. I feel I have a word for somebody. Get a strategy from the Spirit. If you're up against an impossible situation, pray and get a strategy from the Holy Spirit. And then exercise creatively determined faith. God will give you a word. I don't know where the idea came to lay hands on those letters, but I know that it was an act of creatively determined faith. And the Holy Spirit will give you a strategy too that you can just attach your faith to in God, and it'll bring the answer, the release. Jesus ignored the messengers and he gave Jairus an alternative message. I love this. Circle it, highlight it, underline it, put stars by it. Don't be afraid, only believe. Only believe is in the Greek continuous present tense. It means don't be afraid, keep on believing, keep on believing, keep on believing, keep on believing, keep on believing. Beloved, listen to me. Only believe. In spite of the messenger's report, in spite of the diagnosis, in spite of the prognosis, in spite of the professional's opinion, only believe. only believe when things are going from bad to worse. For 12 years, the bleeding woman went from bad to worse while the pleading father was waiting. The 12-year-old daughter was going from bad to worse. But only believe. Only believe when sickness has taken away your dignity. Sickness and suffering are no respecters of person. They level the playing field. But Jesus is no respecter of persons either. He helped a pleading father. He helped a bleeding woman. He raised a young girl to life again. And he'll help you. Only believe. Only believe, even if you've lost everything. Only believe even when you feel unworthy to approach him face to face. Only believe even when everyone else has given up on you. Many are they that have said of my soul, God can't even help him now. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, the glory and the lifter of my head. Only believe even when everyone is laughing at you. Only believe even if no one else believes in miracles. Only believe even if everyone is urging you to face reality. Only believe even when everyone tells you it's too late now. Only believe. Only believe when you've lost hope. Only believe when the doctor's tests confirm your worst fears. Only believe even when a second opinion gives no help. Even when medical treatment makes things worse. Even when your last ounce of strength is gone. Only believe. Even when your answer is delayed. Somebody hear me. Only believe. Press in, press in, press in a little harder to touch him. Even if you're disappointed with Jesus' timing. Even if others are getting their miracles ahead of you, only believe. Must have been hard for Jairus during that delay while Jesus helped a bleeding woman. If Jesus had moved a little quicker, maybe his little daughter wouldn't have died. But the healing of the bleeding woman was meant to bolster his faith to believe God to do something he'd never seen before. You know, after Jesus healed the bleeding woman, he didn't have any less power to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. And even if someone gets their miracle a little bit ahead of you, Jesus doesn't have any less power to answer your prayer and give you the miracle that you've been waiting on. Only believe. Only believe. Even when the doctors can't do anymore, even when the marriage counselor sees no hope, even when the financial advisor says there is no way, only believe. Even when your children are slipping away and you can't save them, only believe. Even though you're asking Jesus to do the impossible, only believe. Even in the very face of death itself, only believe. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. A faith sandwich. Two stories that have one important message about Jesus. Only believe. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place? Oh, come on, church. Don't give him a wimpy little praise. Give him a great big praise. Come on, lift up your voice. Shout unto God with a voice of, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Come on, give a good victory shout in this place today. Jesus, Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice. Come on, sing it. Highest praises, Lord of all. I want you to lift the roof off this place. Sing.
Oh,
give the Lord a good praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. Silver and gold I do not have. I surely do not. But I have the gift of faith. Such as I have, I give to you. You have an impossible situation in your life today. I don't know whether it's in a relationship, in your family, kids, health, money, career. I don't know what it is. But you have an impossible situation. I want you to do an act of creatively determined faith. You know, as a kid, I used to listen to sermons like this and say, Jesus isn't here. I can't touch the hem of his garment, but Frankie is here. He's here. The Bible says God wants us to reach out and touch him because he's not far from any one of us. Listen, if you have an impossible, I don't know what it is. There is nothing too hard. I tell you, there is nothing too hard. I've seen it. I testify. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. You have some impossible situation. I want you to just reach your hand up. And by faith, I want you to just close your hand and I want you to grab hold of the tassel of his prayer shawl, the hem of his garment. The Son of Righteousness will rise. For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in the corner of his prayer shawl. Come on, just reach up your hand and just grab hold of it. Just grab hold of it. Come on, I want you to say this with me. Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I believe you. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You are the Savior, the Son of Righteousness, risen from dead with healing in your wings. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, come on, give him one more good praise, would you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For our final act of worship today, we're going to receive communion. I held you a little bit over. Is it all right? It's Labor Day weekend. You don't have anywhere to go, right? So you're all right. You're going to go to Pasta Vera, get a grilled chicken panini. They don't open till 4 on Sundays. I'll just give you a heads up. But you can. They're going to be a mad rush. They're going to be run out of chicken on Greenwich Avenue. On your way in, hopefully you received a serving of communion. If you didn't, our ushers have some trays there in the aisles. And if you need a serving of communion, just lift your hand real high so that our ushers can see you. We have right down in the front, all the way down here in the front on this side, Pastor Nick. We have some people, Mimi right in the middle. Olivia, just put your hand up high. Anybody else, put your hand up right here in the center. Just put up your hand. Keep those hands up till someone finds you with a serving of communion. While you're doing that, come on and sing, What Can Wash Away My Sin?
And wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? But the blood of Jesus.
Come on, sing, oh precious.
And oh precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood.
Sing that first verse. What can wash away?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Come on, sing, oh precious.
Oh, precious.
have your serving of communion. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Would you just say thank you to Jesus with me? Come on, just say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you for the empty grave. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for healing. Thank you for wholeness and cleanness. In Jesus' name. Let's receive communion together. You can receive the bread, and after you receive the bread, you can go ahead and receive the cup. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, after the bread, receive the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, church, would you just give him thanks right now? We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you, lekilai shalom, and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son, Jesus, the Prince of the Peace, Prince of Peace, and the Holy Spirit. Everybody said, amen. Come on, sing one more time, oh precious, and then you may go.